I love that old song, Living by Faith.
Amen.
Does anybody here remember Lester Roloff?
Oh, yeah.
That was one of his theme songs. That was great. How is everybody today?
Fine.
Or is it how are everybody? No, it's how is everybody. Well, you wouldn't mind if I said how are everybody today, would you?
No.
No, you're not? Okay, all right. I would love to speak this morning a little bit more about Jesus. And I'm so thankful to have had the opportunity to be here. Jillian and I have loved being here. It's the first time in this great state. Sound like a politician there, don't you? The great state. It's funny, there's none of them have ever been to any state that isn't great. It's amazing. I love America. Thank you, sir. You're a blessing. And it's been a blessing to be here and to be with your pastor and his wife. And I'm just going to say something. I'm going to stick my nose in and meddle here, but you're blessed to have that couple. Serious. Really are. Now this morning, and by the way, you had two sets of plugs for our books and stuff like that, and I know a number of you have gotten them, but if you do want to hear from us more gospel truth that every week, almost every week, just put your email address on the list that's at the back and you will get the Wednesday word most Wednesdays. And so let's encourage you to do that. Okay, let's go to the Word of God this morning. We're going to go to a passage that we had read, that was read at the beginning of the service, Mark chapter 7. And I want us to keep our Bibles open as we read this, Mark 7 and verse 31. Mark 7, 31. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came onto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And they took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. He charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them so much, the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And I want to take our text from verse 37. He has done all things well, and I'm entitling this message this morning, Well Done, Jesus. Well done. Well done, Jesus. Well done. He has done all things well. I tell you, when you wake on that resurrection morning, you'll see He has done all things well. All things. If you're saved, He has done that well. He doesn't save people partially. He has done all things well. Well done, Jesus. Well done. Anything He has undertaken to do, He does well. And we're going to look this morning at one of His miracles. Now, this miracle that we've read about, it's not recorded in any of the other Gospels other than Mark. And it's an amazing miracle. It's a powerful healing. But there are more dramatic miracles found in the Scriptures. You take John 4, for example, the healing of the nobleman's son. Jesus has come to Cana, and there's a nobleman, and he's in desperation. Now, he was a ruler or a high official in the court, it seems, of Herod Antipas
The word nobleman means a minor dignitary of royalty. He's high up. And he's journeyed 20 to 25 miles to find Jesus. Why? Because his son is sick. And he says, if you just come to Capernaum with me, you could heal my boy. And Jesus doesn't go to Capernaum. Jesus just thinks and the boy is healed. He thinks it. He doesn't even say it. He thinks it. And that shows you the power of Jesus. He's our God. God manifests in the flesh. What a powerful miracle. Think of the miracle of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. He's been 4 days dead. He's not in a swoon. He's not just a little bit unconscious. He's been dead. And the stone rolled in front of the tomb 4 days. And Jesus says, roll away the stone. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth bound. He's wrapped up in the grave clothes. He couldn't walk, but he comes forth. Why? Because Christ commanded it. Mm. What a Savior we have. Isn't he wonderful? But here we see a different miracle. And whereas there may be more dramatic miracles than this one is not just powerful, but it sets before us more of the Savior's identity. This tells us, if we look closely and carefully and thoughtfully at this passage, this will tell us and reveal to us more of who our Savior really is. You see, Jesus is more than a miracle worker. Jesus is the Lord God. There's no way to meet God. There's no way to know God other than Christ. Christ is the mediator. He mediates God to us. We think, and rightly so, we think that he mediates on our behalf and brings us to God. That's true. But he mediates it all. The traffic goes the other way. He brings God to us. So one little girl said Jesus was the best picture God ever had taken of himself. Yeah. You don't have to strive to know God. We've got Jesus. Do you want to know what God's like? Look at Jesus. So I pray this morning that he will reveal more of himself to us this morning through the ministry of the word. Now let's look at this story. Verse 31. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came onto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. Now, that's not going to mean anything to you unless you have a Bible map. If you've got a Bible map at the back of your Bible, you should look at that this afternoon and see where Tyre and Sidon are and where the Sea of Galilee is and where Decapolis is. And you will discover that it's a great distance from Decapolis to the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And Jesus makes that journey. It's a long journey to the place Decapolis. Now, Decapolis was a confederation of 10 cities. They were Greek cities, pagan cities, culturally Greek, religiously pagan. Now, the journey, although it happens in a verse here, but from Tyre and Sidon to Decapolis would have taken several months on foot. The terrain was so rugged and rough and inhospitable, it was a long journey for Jesus to take the disciples on. And it would have taken several months to make it. 150 miles only, but rugged, inhospitable terrain. It's been calculated that's how long it would take. And so what did Jesus do? We don't know. But I think we do. He would have taught the disciples. Now there's a Bible study that lasted 2 months, maybe three. Jesus teaching his disciples, wouldn't you love to have been there? Wouldn't you have loved to have heard the kinds of things the Master said? And so, here he comes in verse 32. He's now in Decapolis, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech.
and they beseech him to put his hand upon them. I always tell our folks back in Ireland, don't read the scripture too fast. Pause and think of the scriptures that you've read. That's what the psalmist said, Selah. You know, when you're reading along and then he comes to this word, Selah. That means pause and think of this. And when we read the scripture, it's good to learn to pause and think. Now, think with me. Jesus has been on a journey from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. He's 2 or 3 months out in the wilderness. And he comes to Decapolis, which is not in Israel. It is a Greek confederation, a confederation of 10 Greek cities. Yet, they know about him in Decapolis because they bring somebody and they said, would you touch him? Would you bless him? Would you? How did they know about Jesus? Jesus had done all his miracles in Israel. Jesus had healed in different parts of Israel. He had preached in the next cities and the next towns all throughout Israel. But here he is in Decapolis and they know about him. Interesting, isn't it? I'll tell you how they heard about Jesus. You can find it in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Let's turn over there. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And we're going to see how they heard of Jesus. Verse 19. Now, I should say this. There'd been a man who lived amongst the tombs, the demoniac. And he had run around the place naked and attacking people. And Jesus healed him. Now watch this, picking up the story. Verse 19. The man had wanted to go with Jesus after he'd been healed, but Jesus suffered him not, allowed him not, but said unto him, go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Ah! Jesus healed this man and said, go and tell people. And he went and published, told everybody in Decapolis about Jesus. Isn't that marvelous? I wish we were so obedient. He has said, go ye therefore into all the world, and we don't. I am not a condemning preacher, but maybe this will challenge you. Is there even anybody you're praying for to get saved? I mean, how are you going to evangelize people that you're not praying for? Are you even praying that there'll be people getting saved through your ministry? Lord, give me an opportunity to give out the gospel. Well, most Christians, unfortunately, most Christians ignore the Great Commission. I don't know why. This little man didn't. He had been healed and he went everywhere evangelizing. He told people about Jesus. Maybe he had said, let me tell you about Jesus. He saved me. He delivered me. Maybe it was just like a simple testimony. We don't know what the man's message was. But I'm sure he would say, you know, I used to roam the hills. I was the demoniac of the Gadarenes. I roamed the hills. I lived amongst the gravestones. I wouldn't wear clothes. I attacked everybody. They even came one time and chained me. And I snapped the chains off. Oh yeah, I heard of you. You're not him, are you? Yeah. I snapped the chains off and I was public enemy number one. I hated everybody. I was out of my mind. What happened? Jesus came. Who is he? I don't know a lot about him. There's some people say he's the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. He's the coming king. I don't know all the theology, but I know Jesus met me and saved me and delivered me and healed me.
So the people in Decapolis have heard about Jesus. And so here's these people, and they've got this friend who's, he's dumb. He's deaf. That's pretty serious, folks. That's a serious ailment, affliction. And because of the testimony of this man from the Gadarenes, this ex-demoniac, people are now saying, oh, Jesus. Yeah, you know, Jesus has arrived in Decapolis. He has. Yeah, he's over there. He's there with his disciples. You mean the Jesus who healed the demoniac? Yeah, the same Jesus. Oh, my goodness. And so this man has made Jesus famous. And so people know about Jesus. And so they come over and they say, hey, listen. Here's a friend. He's deaf. He's tongue-tied. He's mute. He can't speak. He can't hear. Can you do anything for him? Just pray for him. Or do something. But they had faith, didn't they? And so they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they said, put your hand on him. Would you put your hand on him?
You know that poor man? He's a picture of us. I couldn't hear the gospel until Christ put his hand on me. Neither could you. I couldn't even see the gospel. I couldn't see the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world had blinded my eyes. The God of this world had blinded your eyes, that you could not see the glorious gospel. And that you can see it today is grace. God did that. He opened your eyes.
So I'd love to have been back there where he would touch me. And
he has already touched us. He's opened our eyes. He's opened our ears that we can hear the gospel.
Jeremiah 6 and verse 10 talks about the unregenerate people. It talks about their ears being closed.
And that was us outside of grace. Our ears closed.
We were blind to the gospel. We were unable to hear the gospel. We were unable to speak and confess Jesus as Lord until God in his grace intervened.
It's only the gospel that can remove spiritual blindness. It's only the gospel that can remove spiritual deafness. And so here he stands before Jesus, a mute, a deaf, and he's dumb.
Let me tell you a little bit about the ancient culture. If you were deaf and dumb in those days, you were treated horribly. Some pagan cultures took people who were deaf and dumb and executed them. They wouldn't have anything to do with them in their society.
Even the Jews, the rabbis, had decreed that if you were deaf and dumb, you were mentally incapacitated. You were insane. That's what they said.
Insane. Well, why are they insane? Well, I don't know, but they're under a curse of God. He's deaf, he's dumb, he's under God's curse. That's what they said.
The only thing that this man has got going for him is that he's got friends. Is that all? Yeah. But that was enough. Yeah. And that was wonderful to have friends. Friends who would bring him to Jesus. Now that's a good friend. Mm. You'll be a good friend to people if you bring them to Jesus. You really will be.
And let me tell you how to measure your friends. If your friends that you hang with will take you away from Jesus, they're not your friends. if they'll bring you closer to Jesus, they are your friends. And this man, this poor mute, this poor deaf and dumb man, he is brought to Jesus. These people believed that Jesus could help. And here's the thing about the poor man couldn't even ask for help. Why? Because he couldn't speak. He couldn't ask for help. And that would bring me to think that I should be asking for help for my friends. Lord, save them. Lord, save them. Is there anybody you're praying for? Is there anybody that you're working on? Or are you content to go another year and not even mention Jesus? Oh, beloved, I don't come with a big stick, but I hope I come with a challenge.
Yeah.
A challenge.
Now notice, these men didn't even ask that Jesus would heal their friend. They just said, would you touch him? Would you lay your hand upon him? Maybe they thought he'd just give him a blessing or whatever. But Jesus healed him. And that's a beautiful, wonderful illustration of Ephesians 3. Do you remember in Ephesians 3 and verse 20? It says, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Oh, what? Say that again. I will. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Isn't that incredible? Who is the he? He is Jesus. What's he able to do? He is able. Oh, that's enough for me, isn't it? He is able. Oh, but not only is he able, he's able to do. Oh, great. What's he able to do? He's able to do exceedingly. How well, that's great. Let's stop there. No. He's able to do exceeding abundantly. Wow, that's enough for me. He's able, but wait a minute. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above. What? Above what? Above all that I ask or think.
Amen.
Oh, and yet we are so mealy-mouthed and full of unbelief in the face of these great promises. They bring their friend to Jesus, said, just put your hand on him. And he heals them. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. What a Savior. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. He's wonderful. So Jesus heals this man. And do you know what? This is a declaration that Jesus is the Messiah. He heals the deaf and dumb. It prophesies about the Messiah in Isaiah 35. We'll not take time to go there, but you, if you're taking notes, Isaiah 35 verses 5 to 6, it talks about the coming Messiah who would heal deaf and dumb people. And here Jesus is doing just that, healing the deaf and the dumb. And he has a very unusual way of healing this man, and Jesus never seems to heal the same way all the time. It's just like preaching. How do you get saved? Well, some people just get saved under preaching. Other people get saved reading a book about Christ. Some people get saved because somebody's witnessing to them. Some people get saved through trouble. Crisis brings us to Christ. There's different ways that the Lord uses. Now, the primary one, I believe, is preaching. But God's sovereign. I heard the testimony of a man who got saved listening to Willie Nelson sing a gospel song. Willie?
Yes, Willie?
God can use anything, anyone. What's wrong with us?
Yeah.
He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Who are you praying for to get saved? Moving along. So Jesus does an unusual thing. He takes his fingers and he puts them in the man's ears. It's almost as if he shoots supernatural healing in, but I don't know what was going on there. But then he spat. Jesus spat and put his saliva in the man's mouth. Folks, we've got to pause here a minute. Did you know in Bible days, as in these days, spitting was a form of contempt, a hatred. Somebody spits on you, they don't like you. It's not, if they spit on you, it's not an invitation to come over for dinner. Okay? When they're spitting at you. Oh no. Job chapter 30 and verse 10 says, "They spare not to spit on my face." And people spat upon Jesus because they despised him. They despised the young Prince of Glory. And Isaiah 50 and verse 6 says, "I hid not my face from shame and spitting." And in Matthew 26 and verse 67, it says, "They did spit on his face." Saliva is filled with germs. But Christ's wasn't. There was no corruption in him. He had perfect, pure spit. Can you imagine such a thing? Non-corrupted, fallen spit. And he takes his spit and puts it in the man's mouth. Wow. Wow. Medical science, do you know what it tells us today? It says if your spit dries up, you won't be able to speak. Whoa! Jesus, how did you know that? Christ takes his spit and puts it in the man's mouth. But how did you know that 2,000 years ago? They've only recently discovered it. I tell you how he knew. He's God.
Amen.
He's God. And manifest in the flesh. And Jesus puts his pure, sinless, healing saliva in the man's mouth, and the man began to talk. Isn't that stunning? He began to talk. Well, verse 34. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and he said unto him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. He spake plain. Now, this, don't go too fast over this. Look, to have the deaf ears opened, that's a tremendous miracle. And Jesus here, he looks heavenwards. It's as if he's saying, this is where the power comes from heaven. Do you remember the psalm said, Psalm 121, "I to the hills will lift mine eyes. From whence cometh mine aid? Mine aid comes from the Lord, whom heaven and earth hath made." Well, just by the way, I don't know if there's anybody who's unsaved this morning listening to me. Maybe on the recordings, maybe here. To whom are you looking for salvation? Are you looking to yourself, to your own ability, to your own goodness? I'm a good church person. Brother McKee, I'm a good church, have been all my life. I'm sure you are, but are you looking to that? Is that your hope, that you're a good person? Now let me tell you, with all the earnestness I can muster, if that's your hope, you're going to perish. You're going to die in your sins. That can't be. I'm a deacon. You'll die in your sins. If your hope is based upon anything less than Jesus Christ and his blood, you will perish. You will perish. If you're too proud to let Jesus save you, you will perish. You know, there are some people who are too proud to look outside of themselves to the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm an independent man. That's fine. Until it gets to the business of going to heaven and getting eternal life. Some people are too proud. But our help comes from the Lord. Our salvation comes from the Lord.
I once read about a liberal bishop, Bishop Garfield Bromley Oxon. What a great name. But he said, and he said, I would rather go to hell than go to heaven on the back of another man. Imagine that. I'd rather go to hell than have somebody else save me. And way back in March 12th, 1963, God granted his request, for on that day he died. But back to our story. Verse 35. Straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed and he spake plain. Now to have the deaf ears opened is a miracle, but to... Listen. The guy has been deaf all his life. You've never heard a language if you're deaf. You don't know what speech is because you're deaf. And Jesus opens his hearing so he can hear language and opens his tongue, or looses his tongue, so that he can speak. This man should have, by right, gone to speech therapy for a long time because now he can hear language, but he can't articulate language. But he spake plain. What a miracle! He spake plain. This is the hand of God. This is the way God moves. Don't you want to worship Jesus? He's wonderful. He's wonderful. And so he couldn't hear, and now he hears. He couldn't speak, and now he speaks. And in verse 36, he's charged that he shouldn't tell anybody no more, but the more he charged them, the much more he published it. He had to tell everybody. He's now speaking. He's able to speak. And who do you think he's speaking about? He's speaking about Jesus. Oh, my goodness me. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Now listen, it's as if he knew the old hymn, which hadn't been written. Hear him, ye deaf, his praise ye dumb. Your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy. Oh, I want to live like that. And what about you? I don't want Jesus to be an add-on to my life, a Sunday thing. I want him to invade every part of my life. What about you? We don't have long left, folks. We don't have long left. Oh, how do you know, brother? I know, because I was saying last night or the night before. The clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. I'm reminded of the little boy who was staying at his grandparents. The whole family was there. And up at the top of the stairs there was a great old clock, the grandfather clock. And he would sit, when he went to bed, he would listen for the... It would chime every hour, you see, and he would count up. And he thought this was great. And he's in his bed, and the next thing, the clock goes dong. He's like, one, two, oh, that's great. Three, four, dong, five. Dong, six, dong, seven, dong, eight. He's thinking of seven, it's eight. Dong, nine. Oh my goodness, I'm still awake at night. Dong, 10. Dong, 11. Dong, 12. Dong, 13. Dong, 14. Dong, 15. And he jumps out of bed and he runs through the car and says, wake up, everybody. It's never been this late before. It's never been this late before, folks. Let's not have Jesus as a little add-on. He's loosened their tongues. Let's speak about him. Let's speak about him. He's overwhelmed. This man's overwhelmed. And he couldn't hold back. He couldn't hold back. And I love the way our story ends. They say about Jesus, he has done all things well. Hasn't he?
Yeah.
Look at yourself in the mirror tomorrow morning and say, he has done all things well. You look. We look at ourselves and we turn away because we don't like ourselves. But he has done all things well. Your character, he's given you a nature which loves him. He's done all things well. But that wonderful thing about Jesus, he loves us. Have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror and said, Jesus loves you? And why not? It's true. He loves you. If you're one of his saved ones, if you're one of his blood washed ones, you can safely say, he loves me. Why should children be the ones who only believe that? Jesus loves me, the signal for it. And that's true. I sing that as an adult song. Yeah. Jesus loves you. He has done all things well. Jesus created new eyes for people. Jesus created new ears for people, new voices. He created them. He spoke the word. He brought things into existence that weren't there. He speaks to nothing and brings something out of it. He has done all things well. But the full revelation of this statement will not be unfolded until the morning of the resurrection. And then you really will see. He has done all things well. We'll look around and see a vast company of the elect, the redeemed, people who have been bought and purchased by the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh yes, he has done all things well. Well done, Jesus. Well done. He has done all things well. And that is the gospel truth this morning. Amen.
You'll find your hymnals, please, for our closing hymn.